I'm strapped up.
Nothing. What was that about?
Let's make the fight happen. We strapped the fuck up.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 189 of the Strut Season Podcast. I'm your boy, Cam.
I'm your boy, Flows.
And you know the drill, guys. Before we kick off the episode, please head over to our Instagram page, the Strut Season Podcast, or our Twitter page, the Strut Season Pod. There's a link in the bio on both of those platforms that will take us where we're situated at streaming-wise. We are available on all good streaming platforms. So whichever one's your fancy, guys, please head over to that. Subscribe, like, repost, retweet, whatever you want to do. Leave us a good review. But yeah, do your thing, guys. Flows, how are you?
Good, bro.
How are you? Yeah, great. Thanks, man. Really good. Want to wish all our listeners, obviously, happy Easter. Hope it's been a really good, refreshing, you know, Easter period for everyone. In the streets of boxing, Flows, it was a really good one. I think this Easter weekend, we had good cards on Saturday and Sunday. We had the privilege of attending Sunday's card, which we'll go into. But let's take it as we tend to do, Flows. We take it day by day. So it's only right we start with Saturday's card, or cards, shall I say, because there was obviously we've got PBC making their debut on Amazon Prime. You know, their big debut, and then also we the DAZN Golden Boy had a card as well. Same night too. So, yeah, Flows, I think it's right we start with PBC. This was the Tim Zhu Fundora show. Chief support was Rolando Romero versus ASAP Cruz.
Pitbull
Flows, Pitbull Cruz, yes. Rollies versus Pitbull. Flows, I want to start there.
Yeah.
Let's get straight into Rollies versus Pitbull Cruz. Flows, last week, said I think Pitbull Cruz is going to do him.
Yeah.
Said it last week. I think, actually, Rollies was even the favorite. Well, I think from the American counterparts, Flows, I saw a lot of them saying, well, the PBC lot were all there saying, yeah, Rollies is going to do it. Rollies is going to do it. You know how the PBC...
The odds of Pitbull was favorite over here anyway.
Oh, was Pitbull favorite? Okay, cool. But yeah. I saw a lot of the PBC lot saying, do not Rollie propaganda. And saying Rollies is going to do it, Rollies is going to do it, blah, 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 blah. His power is going to be too much. Cool. I didn't care about that. I know what my eyes see, Flows. I trust my eyes. Look, Flows, Rollies is rubbish. I'm just like, he's rubbish. Flows, he's crap. He's crap. He is crap. I said he's probably the worst champion in boxing right now. Well, ex-champion, because he lost. He got himself knocked out or got himself stopped. And that's why I just said to myself, even though for me, Pitbull Cruz isn't great, I know he's a lot better than Mr. Romero. No offense to Rolly. It is what it is. He's limited. So when I woke up the next day and I see that Pitbull stopped him, I was creasing. Because I said, yeah, it's not a surprise to me. Pitbull is decent at some things. And just Rolly's, his biggest selling point is apparently his power. Apparently, that's his biggest selling point, Flows. Is the fact that he hits hard, apparently. But everything else flows from what I've seen from Rollies, it's just been poor. So, yeah, man, I wasn't surprised by the result at all. As we highlighted last episode, this guy Rollies, he's even here on the technicality. He shouldn't even be here. He got gifted with fight versus Tank, got knocked out versus Tank, probably came out of that with a bit more plaudits because he gave a better performance than people anticipated he would. But let's be real, Flows. Tank wasn't focused the entire fight. And the moment Tank got focused, he knocked him out real quick. Yeah. Moves up, somehow gets a shot at 140 for the title, which we said was farcical, right, Flows? You're shaking your head because I know you couldn't believe it.
Insane.
He then fights Barroso, 40-year-old Venezuelan, I think he is, and gets destroyed. But we've seen probably, we gave it rubber of the year because it was the worst stoppage we've seen in a long time by Tony Weeks. We called for Tony Weeks, to be fair, Tony Weeks there was a string of last year. There was a string of bad performances for 20 weeks that we called for his head. But yeah, that's what kicked it off, I think. But yeah, horrible gift to give him that title was due to rematch. Obviously, pulled out. Oh no, I think it was due to fight O'Hara Davis, was number one. Yeah. So he pulled out of that due to an injury. And this is now his actual official first defense of that title, Flores. And yeah, just the fact that you're here in the technicality and you shouldn't even be here, it's fair that he gets stopped by Pitbull Cruz, who was coming up in weight, by the way. Pitbull was coming up from 135. Yep. Rolies was meant to be the bigger and stronger man, but from round one, Flores, Pitbull's had his way with Rolies. And funny enough, the first round, Flores, I've seen what, obviously, we know what Pitbull Cruz is. I don't rate Pitbull Cruz like that. He gets, you know, Flores, we don't like the fact that he gets inserted into conversation, shouldn't be inserted, like he's some boogeyman, because he went the distance with Tank and gave a valiant effort, even though Tank had one hand. But yeah, typical bog standard Mexican pressure fighter, which is what he's going to give you. So obviously, we've seen from round one, Flores, Pitbull step into Rolies, and Rolies is actually trying to box. He's trying to fight on the back foot, using lateral movement, which is not his strength. He tried, you know, he was giving it a go. And to be fair, up until when he actually got caught and hurt Flores, I actually thought he was doing a decent job in keeping Pitbull at bay. But he got caught in round one and he was there doing the stanky leg from round one, Flores. And then Flores, from there, it was cat and mouse the whole night of him being chased and him being beaten down by Pitbull Cruz, because Rodis hasn't got the boxing ability to do what a Tank can do and to keep Cruz off him for 12 rounds. And yeah, Flores, Rollins was barely throwing in portions of this fight. He was just getting beat up in my eyes. So shameful performance. But that's what you get from a guy who's not at this level and who's been elevated and been gifted decisions here on technicalities. The cream rises to the top in the end. And as you can see, that's what happens. So yeah.
Yeah, what happened was what we expected.
Mm.
Rod was just holding that belt, keeping it warm for the next person.
Mm.
Yeah, fair play to him. He survived longer than I thought he would after that first round.
Mm.
Yeah, rocked and wobbled left, right, and center, round after round almost. but he didn't go down, so shout at him. He could hold his head for that. And when was it stopped? The 9th or the 8th?
8th.
8th, yeah. And yeah, he was stanky legging for round one, so fair play to him for surviving. But look, neither of these guys are factors for me. They get beaten by the guys that we've listed. Mm. So once again, Isak Cruz holding that belt for... Don't get me wrong, Isak Cruz could beat a lot of guys. He's better than Rowley, like we said.
Clearly, yeah.
But once the killers, like he's openly ducked Kerr, he's openly ducked Shuka Shakur, so I will continue to duck him. But once he faces the killers, I anticipate Tanks might want to grab that belt of Isak Cruz now. And position, like we said, Tank's the winner here. Position the Tank Cruz rematch, Tank handles him again, Tank's a three weight division
champion. Four weight or something, yeah.
However they want to quit it. Shout out to PBC, man. the plays they're making, they're fooling certain, man. They're not fooling us.
Look, no matter how well he can talk himself into a fight or whatnot, because that's also one of his selling points, isn't it, Broly, that he talks very well. Talks good game, trash talks. People like that and they tune to it because of that. I think what really got the tag fight going was the fact that Rollies was really going at him and jawing at him, right? And people found him amusing, found him humorous, you know? You have to back it up, though. Eventually, people can get tired of it. And all this talk was made about Rollies' power and his natural size of Isak Cruz, but I think it got to the point where Flores is like, okay, look, you've tried boxing this guy and boxing the back foot, and you've shown you haven't got the capability of doing that because this guy is still closing the gap and teeing off on you every single time. At this point, you might as well just rock out with him because, you know, you say you've got power. Tank was there saying, you know, they think they asked Tank. Obviously, Tank is a common opponent. They asked Tank who hits harder, Cruz or Rollies, and he said Rollies by far. So I'm there thinking, yeah, rock out Rollies. But Flows, I reckon from that first round, once he got rocked, this guy didn't close. He was negative the entire. He wasn't throwing. Every time Cruz tried, came he tried to. He got warned for holding. I think he got a point deducted even. But yeah, he was just trying to spoil and hold. He wasn't trying to engage or know at all. Flows from that first round when he got rocked. Yeah, Rollies clearly hasn't got a chin because Barroso had him in all kinds of trouble. Obviously, with Tank, sorted Tank. Obviously, these guys are all hard hitters, I guess. But still, yeah, you know, this is like three fights, four fights in the bounce floors where we've seen this guy get wobbly legged. So, yeah, man, he's just not the level. He's just not the level. And I saw that he changed trainers. He's with Ismael Salas, who is a very well respected, good trainer. He left that Coach Bullet guy. He looks worse to me. Maybe he should go back to Bullet.
I'll say this about Rollies. He had the Rabichur pedigree.
Yes, you can tell. Yeah.
So, yeah, like you say, you can tell. So, he's not dead by by design. It's just because he hasn't had the experience, the training. He hasn't
got dead by design.
It's just, I guess, he started way too late to learn the fundamentals. Like someone like Wilder, who's went through the amateurs, went to the Olympics, and is still dead. So it's a bit different in that sense. But look, I think Barroso, I'm skipping that really. I think Barroso is owed something, so he better not look past him. Shout out Cruz, you done your thing. You pulled the heist. Lucky you. I don't know how you got. Actually, I do know PBC, but yeah, shout out to you. But someone's got to see Barroso.
Yeah, but unfortunately, yes, facts. But unfortunately, Flores, we know what they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Tank. That's it. I feel for Barroso as well, because yeah, it should be him.
Ooh.
But they're gonna try and force a Tank thing. Nasty, nasty work. We've seen it, by the way.
Yeah,
we seen it coming, by the way. So yeah. But yeah, no. Shout out to Cruz. As you say, Flows, it's funny. It's gone from one guy keeping a seat warm in Rollies to Isak Cruz keeping a seat warm. Because, yeah, as you said, the other champions, the other guys sniffing around at the division, to me, are way better than Isak Cruz. Uh-huh. A top competitor, a good boxer should have their way with Cruz every single time, to be honest. Yes, he's aggressive. Yes, he comes forward, pressure fighter. But we know that can be negated, Flows, by good boxing and good movement. Simple, really. And someone, if you crack, hit him hard enough, he won't want to do that anytime. So that's it, really. But yeah, the story of Isak Pitbull Cruz goes on, Flows. Yeah, he's been doing great since the Gervonta Davis fight. He keeps rising. We'll see how far he goes, I guess. And yeah, hopefully that's the last we see of Rollies for a while. sorry, real Flows. I don't know what he's doing there. Main event, Flows. Fundora Tim Zhu. Upset, Flows. Upset win for Fundora. I watched the fight in its entirety, Flows, today. And Flows, the first thing I'm going to say is I feel really sorry for Tim Zhu, to be honest.
Yeah.
Look, the opponent was Keith Thurman. 12 days out. Is it 12 or 14 days? Before the fight, let's say 2 weeks before the fight was happened, Keith Thurman is pulled out, unfortunately, due to an injury, and the replacement is Fundora. Straight away, Flow is completely different. You've been training for Keith Thurman, who is, what, 5'8", naturally a smaller man compared to you, good mover, boxer puncher, can fight on the inside, outside, you know what I mean, Flow is counter puncher if he needs to. To someone that's flipping 6'6", and throws and fights like he's 5'5", and throws hella punches per round, in close, all action, blah, blah. It's a completely different change, folks. We've seen before, right, when late replacements come in and upset the uppercut and ruin things. Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz, perfect example. Anthony Joshua was preparing for a guy that was much larger, and Jerome Miller, the completely different styles, Ruiz completely different. He came unstuck. So that's one thing I felt sorry for, because obviously, yeah, obviously this is boxing, Flows. We know it happens, but stuff like that does play a factor. But I'm watching this fight, Flows, and the first thing I notice is Fundora, who we've praised and criticized his style right flows, because given his dimensions, you see a guy that's 6'6", you're thinking, yes. And with that, what, 80-inch reach or something ridiculous like that, he's got the reach of a heavyweight fighter, flows. It's ridiculous. You expect him to fight a certain way, on the outside, using his reach. But Fundora, as you said, flows. He's weird. He's an enigma. He fights like he's a smaller fighter in close quarters. You know, all action, throwing hella punches. It's crazy. So I was expecting that, flows, but I'm seeing Fundora try and fight behind the jab and that range. I'm thinking, huh? I've never seen this before in his life. I swear this is the first time Fundora has fought like this ever in his life. And to be honest, you could tell flows because it looked alien to him a little bit. He looked like he did. He looked confused a little bit. I can't lie. So I'm seeing him do that. I'm thinking, rah, he's finally decided to use his actual, you know, dimensions and proportions correctly. It's not really working right now because first two rounds flows, Tim Zhu, who is explosive, very good at, you know, moving in with his footwork and his explosiveness. To me, flows was having his way with Fundora and he was popping his head back, coming in with quick combinations, powerful combinations, and he rocked him in the first two rounds, flows.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, boy, it's the right style change, but you're clearly not used to this style, Fundora, because you're getting pieced up right now.
Yeah.
So first two rounds, flows, to me, Tim Zhu is in complete control. He's looking his usual aggressive Tim Zhu self. And then the end of the round two happens, flows. Tim Zhu is kind of, it's weird because he's like he's off balance, but I think he's tried to come in to try and hold or something, flows. He's gone head first, charging in with his head. And he's hit Fundora's elbow. He sort of charged into the elbow. Fundora's elbow was just there, flows. It was just his hand was there, placed there. And Tim Zhu's head sort of headbutted the elbow. Completely accidental. And that's obviously opened up a horrible, horrible gash, flows. You can see that the gash was crazy. Blood was pouring out. And that is when the fight changed, flows. Because up until that cut, at the end of the second round, flows, I had Tim Zhu looking comfy. And I thought to myself, boy, if this continues, he might stop this guy in the next couple of rounds. Because he was catching Fundora with some good shots, bopping his head back, rocking him. But flows, that cut changed everything. As soon as the third round came out, flows, blood's all in Tim Zhu's eyes. And that jab that Fundora was popping out all night, suddenly couldn't miss. Suddenly couldn't miss that jab. And Tim Zhu's now looking a bit wild with his combinations. I think it's clear his vision's being impaired because he's just taking shots unnecessarily. And it's just completely disrupted the flows. And the corner weren't able to stop the bleeding. I think we'll talk about it, flows, but there was a lot of critique towards his corner in terms of their lack of being able to sort of stop the bleeding. But it was a nasty gash, so I don't know, flows. I don't know how much they could have done. But yeah, man, that fight flows changed in that second round, at the end of the second round. And despite Tim Zhu giving his best efforts, I did have Fundora winning. But I think it's due to the cut, flows. I'll be so real. That cut changed everything. That's why I feel sorry for him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's. I think I said last episode, we both expected Tim Zhu to win. But yeah. You were looking, as I think I said, late replacement is always difficult. And this ain't just any late replacement. This is a 6'6".
Six.
A guy that you need to prepare for. Fundora, you need to sparring partners. Mm. You need a game plan. You can't go from fighting Keith Thurman to a Fundora in that sense. Even though it's just completely different. Mm. So there's that to bear in mind, which was a banana skin. It's just a completely different style. But yeah, like you say, Fundora surprised me. I've criticized his style. I was like, how can you be 6'6" and you're going to war? You're fighting in a pocket, having tear ups. But he started with the jab, and I was like, okay, he wasn't having too much success because he was getting pieced up still. But then, like you say, everything changed with that cut, super bad cut. The third round, he just capitalized. He's already bloodied, by the way. Fundora's already
bust. His nose is bust. Yeah, broken nose, I think. And just like his nose was teeming with blood as well.
he was getting pieced out for the first two rounds, but then that third round came, and you could obviously see the panic because the doctor was asked to check it, and I think they said three rounds. They're going to give it three rounds or something to Tim Tszyu.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of came out in that third round trying to get Fedor out of there almost.
Yeah.
And he just threw caution to the wind. Everything that he was doing in terms of countering kind of went out the window into blocking and responding. And yeah, responding in the way he usually does. He just kind of applied pressure. And Fedor is seeing the blood pouring down his face. Just thought, yeah, let me just get off this jab. Let me just keep getting off this jab. And it worked for him. Then the fight completely changed in demeanor and mentality for both of the fighters. And yeah, I think it kind of ruined it. And I guess we'll talk about the top. For me, that was a hard watch to see both guys bloodied, both of them covered in red. A bad cut like that. It seemed barbaric to me.
Mm.
I felt it should have been stopped. I'll just say it from there.
Mm.
That's like that. No one wants to see. I don't want to see guys covered in blood. Where you know the commentary is talking about the blood, talking about the cuts, talking about how bad it is. When round three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 rounds to go, and a bad cut like that, which is before he even got out of his seat in round three, his face was covered.
Yeah.
His face was covered. They had to go to the doctor, wipe his face again before he's a first punch. His face is. I think, we could talk about the corner, but I don't think it should have been down to the corner.
Yeah, because I saw a lot of critique for Flores about the Tim Tszyu's corner and their inability to stem the bleeding or control the bleeding. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Flores, there are certain drugs that are allowed. Apparently, in corners, which apparently can sort of swell stuff like, stop stuff like that or control stuff like that. I think they're legally allowed anyways. And they were saying how Tszyu's corner, his cut man, either didn't have those drugs at hand or just seemed completely inexperienced in how to deal with a cut of that magnitude. I want to do some more research on that, actually.
Awkward position, though. It's right at the top of his head. So it's not even like the eye where they can...
Yeah, where it was, top of the head, is actually one of the places where there's like a main vessel, whatever, right, Flo? Yeah. So the bleeding from there is always going to be profuse. Always, always. So I don't know how these legal drugs that are allowed that can, stem bleeding, I don't know how much it would have done.
Hmm.
I don't know how prepared Tim Tszyu's corner was. Maybe they weren't prepared. I don't know. Because obviously you don't expect, it's a freak accident, right, Flo? So you don't expect that to happen at the top of the head. It's a complete freak accident. So I don't know. But I did see a lot of critique there. I'm surprised the fight went the full distance, to be honest, Flo.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I had shared the same sentiments of, I feel awkward watching this. I want it to be stopped. Because I've seen bloody fights before, Flo. And
yeah,
blood is part of the sport. You know, it is. That's that gladiatorial aspect of it, I guess. Whether it's barbaric or not, I think that's another discussion. But yeah, I didn't feel awkward, but I felt to myself, there's no way. Obviously, hindsight, I knew the results. I knew it went the full 12.
Yeah.
But I'm watching this thinking, how have they allowed this? Because they kept checking. They checked him a few times, I think, the doctor and whatnot. I'm there thinking, how on earth has this managed to go the full 12? This cut hasn't gotten better. They haven't sent the thing. It's gotten worse per round. As you said, there's some rounds where he's come out after 30 seconds. And his face is already bloodied. So like, all they were putting on was Vaseline on it. That's not going to do much. So that's all. They'll put the whole top of Vaseline on there and it weren't working, brother.
I was looking at it. I was like, where that cut is, I don't know what they're meant to do. Like, that's what keep bleeding.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that it ended up going the full 12, watching that back and just seeing how bad it was. The canvas flows was just crimson. They showed the canvas afterwards. It's just all blood everywhere. It's crazy. Look, Tim Tszyu's a warrior, Flows, and we know he's got no quitting him. I know I've watched him many times now, and I know he's a warrior, and he'll always give his best bet. And it's just a shame, like I said, that such a cut happened in such a big fight. It's now given him his first loss. It's made him lose his belt, and this was for a vacant belt as well. So he would have been a unified champion. Flores, they have to run this back. Because to me, Flores, he was in complete control. You can say it was early, it was only two rounds, but just from what I was seeing, he looked comfortable in there. And the literally, Flores, it happened straight away. Straight into the third, you can see the difference. Suddenly, this jab that Fandora was investing, credit Fandora as well, because I know that there were portions in there where he, you know, he tried to revert to his old self and have a little bit of a tear up and whatnot. But for the most part, Flores, he was disciplined the entire night. And he stuck behind his boxing and behind the jab. But that jab, Flores, suddenly couldn't miss in that third round onwards. Suddenly, it was looking like Zhang, it was looking like Zhang and Joyce. Or let's say Joyce and Dubois. That jab was hitting its mark every single time. And Fedora's not even known as a jabber like that.
Look, I'll say this. That Mendoza knockout is obviously done. Made him rethink his ways and change his whole approach.
He's been
in training, working on that, using these fundamentals. But for me, look, I'll go back to the cut. It's the end of the second round. A bad cut like that. I think you have four. It's four rounds. After the fourth round,
it becomes legal. The fight becomes official.
The fight becomes official. And if they do stop it, they go to the scorecards.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's within four cards, it's a no contest. Most of the bad cuts. When I see bad cuts, they happen in what, the seventh, eighth, ninth round. Like I think Benu Jack's massive bad cut happened in the late portion or the later half of the fight. It wasn't from early. I think there was still a good chunk.
I'm trying to throw back. Jack was a long time ago. When was that?
That's one of the famous bad cuts. I think it was
Marcus
Brown.
Marcus Brown, Buterbeyev was also really bad. I thought that was early, though.
I thought that
might have been fifth.
I think it might have been later than that.
Yeah,
I remember there was. But yeah, most of these even happening.
Yeah, no, it was. You're right. It was the fight was official when it happened.
Because the
fight urgency tells you. So when Fury got that cut against Wallin, the fight was official then, and Fury was struggling. So which is why he became urgent in terms of, right, it can't be stopped because I might lose on this. Yeah, the fight was official for all these ones. Yeah, it wasn't early the second round. You're right. Yeah.
In those cases where the fight's official, then cool. Then when it's early like that, it's a bad cut. Like I think we saw Lara Warrington, that happened so early. Bad cut. I was like, this has to stop. There's no point in letting someone continue with this. It's gonna be a bloodbath and a mess. And we talk about fire safety, fire health, blood loss is damaging as well. And constant force to open wounds is damaging as well.
Yeah.
Look, for me, it was just like, look, I understand it's first fight with PBC on Amazon Prime. They've already had the main event drop out. That's why they didn't stop that.
What one of their big charges, Rolando Romero, just got battered. Yeah.
they couldn't have the main event ended round two.
that's crazy.
So they were gonna let it run. But for me, I think if we're having conversations about fighters' health and fighters' safety, if it's within those early rounds and there's a bad cut like that, then boom. Because if he had that cut in camp, he's not fighting.
Facts.
It's not like a little cut. There's certain people have cuts and they fight on. Well, a cut like that. But yeah, look, shout out to Fandora. The jab's working for you. Use that. Keep using that. Keep working on it.
Crazy that it's taken him this long to finally realize that maybe the style. And don't get me wrong, Flores. I said this praise as well because that style he used to have before, exciting as hell.
Mm-hmm.
All his fights were fun to watch because of that style. Mm-hmm. But it's like you're 6'6", brother. Surely you can't.
Can you know.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. Sorry, listeners, a bit of technical issues with my mic, but yeah, I was saying, Flores. Look, yeah, you're 6'6". Surely you've got to use the tools that you're given. And there's a rematch clause, Flores, to my knowledge, for Tim Zhu.
There was a verbal rematch clause. So I don't know if
it's down. Oh, okay. Oh, right. But, to be honest, the way they were moving afterwards as well with the Spence thing, maybe they're going to try and shaft him. Look, by any means, Flores, I think they need to run that back. It's fair for Tim Zhu, but they might shake him now.
Because I think at the time of the fight, they said, oh, yeah, we have a verbal rematch clause.
Right.
So we'll see. Yeah. Then the WBC, I believe, have now ordered for Dillian to fight Crawford as the next. And they've come back and said, we have a rematch with Tim Zoo. So I think they got pressured by Crawford. They thought, let's run it back with Tim Zoo first.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair. And I think it makes sense for Fondura as well. Rather than fight Crawford.
Hey, man, this business is peak. You saw the Sharks swarming. Spence was there. They were there. Parading Spence. Oh, yeah. Spence there. Let's get it on. Crawford's there tweeting straight away. You know, you got to wait in line. It's my turn next. Blah, blah. You win the belt. You're thrown straight to the Sharks, bro. They want to get their champions. You know, the guys that with the profiles and that as their champs. But yes, Flows. It has to be Tim Zoo next as a rematch. Because to me, Flows, I think Tim Zoo would have won that fight if not for that cut. And it really did change instantly after that cut, Flows. Tim Zoo's, you know, he's grinded, he's grafted Flows. You know, he's had a good last couple of years to get to where he is. He should have been fighting Charlo a long time ago. You know, he's had to wait for opportunities and whatnot. So I like Tim Zoo. He's a warrior. He always comes to fight Flows and, you know, he always looks to attack. And I just feel sorry for him. Very, very unfortunate. So I really do hope that they can get a rematch on. It'd be a good fight. Both of these are guys I'd like to attack. But yeah, man, shout out to Fondora. You know, after that Mendoza loss, he clearly did take it hard and he obviously, you know, went back to the drawing board. So, you know, I can't hate on that. So, and his sister's cold as well. I think we mentioned his sister before. Yeah. So I think they said it's the first brother and sister combo to be champion at the same time. I think that's what they're saying. So a bit of history there, I guess. And yeah, now he's unified Flows. He's got two belts. He's got the WBA and WBC, I think it is. So
yeah,
shout out to him. Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. But yeah, like you say, Sharks are swarming, so I don't know how long he's going to hold it for.
Yeah.
If he gets back in the gym, keep working on his tools, work on his defense as he utilizes those tools. He's a problem for anyone, especially. But now, Tim Zoo, whoever faces him, has time to repair. There's a target on your back now.
Yeah.
So once people have time to prepare for you and you're not a late replacement, if there's no cuts, then we'll see. So,
Also worth mentioning, Flows, before we move on to the zone card on the undercard as well, Arizandi Lara defended his 160-pound belt, Flows, stopping Michael Zarafa in two rounds. Look, Flows, no shade to Lara because, as you know, I'm a huge Lara fan over the years. One of my favorite fighters for a long time, Flows. But this really is a damning indictment of the state of the middleweight division, Flows. A 40-year-old Lara who we called over the hill a couple of years ago, to be fair, is still champion and was able to destroy Zarafa inside two rounds. As in, like, it was a beautiful setup for the shot. I don't know if you saw the knockout, Flows.
Yep.
Beautiful fashion. Lara is an elite boxer, has been an elite boxer his entire career, so not surprised. But it's like Lara isn't even known for hitting that hard. But the way Zarafa was shaking his head, like he was cooked. So yeah, man, like the middleweight division is awful, bro. Like if that's the best you could bring up for Lara, that's bad, man. But shout out to Lara in it. Still holding it down at 40. And there's not much down there. So he could hold on for another year, couple of years, Flo. So I'm not even joking. So yeah, shout out to Arizona Lara. Nasty division, that middleweight division, man. At the moment, anyways. Need someone to come and save it. Flows. Let's move on to... Let's quickly talk about Zoda Ramirez. We talked about history earlier, Flows. The first Mexican boxer to be a cruiserweight champion, Flows, against the AI that was Arsene Gumilarion. Flows. Zoda is so cold, man. Like, the Bivol performance aside... Look, Bivol is Bivol, right? It's mad because Bivol made him look ordinary. That's just crazy. Because Zurdo is sick. He's been cold his entire career, Flows. Back when he was at middleweight or super middleweight, Flows, we'd be banging on about him, Flows, as someone that's quality. Man. He's now what? So he's a three-weight world champion. So middleweight, super middle, and now cruiserweight. Yeah. What a career. He's still only 32, Flows. Flows, he cooked Gumilarion. It was easy. The scorecards were deservedly wide flows. I'd seen bits of Gumilarion, right? So I knew that he was a pressure fighter that likes to come forward.
Yeah.
But flows, the masterful boxing on display from Zoda was apparent from round one, to be honest, flows. As this guy is trying to come in and rush in, the way Zoda's catching him with counter shots as he's coming in, good footwork, controlling the exchanges with his jab. Flows, yeah, man, it was just like you're seeing a pressure fighter versus a very good boxer. Very good boxer puncher, should I say, because Zoda can bang as well. He's got power. And it's mad, Flows. By the sixth round, because Gumilarion against obviously started intensely. I said he's a pressure fighter. By the sixth, once he got to the sixth round, Flows, the output had just dropped off completely. Because he was getting pieced up. So he started trying to throw punches. By the time he got to the sixth flows, he ain't really throwing punches like that no more. And Zoda's just having his way and chilling. So yeah, flows, he cruised to it. And yeah, another name announced in that cruiserweight division.
Yep. So finally, we got Gumilarion out here, inactive.
Yeah.
Don't know how he's been holding on to that belt for time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Zerdo, impressive. Controls distance well. Moves at the right time. Applies pressure. The uppercut was landing freely. The combination.
Oh, yeah. The uppercut was, yeah.
Yeah, he was enjoying himself in there. But good job. We needed someone to finally do that. So, yeah. shout out to Zerdo. I think the first Mexican to be cruiserweight champion. So,
yeah.
Yeah, in the history books, deservedly so.
Yeah. Where do you want this? I mean, I think he plans to stick around, from what I understand. He does plan to stick around at cruiserweight for a little bit. Naturally flows. We've got the other champions in discussion. Also, Jaya Pattaya as well, who we probably think is the best. Well, no, probably he is the best cruiserweight in the world. Are you quick to see? Are you eager to see him unify against these guys, or you know, go straight in there with a Jaya Pattaya?
Look, the division. Well, Jaya Pattaya got stripped, didn't he? So he's fighting.
Yeah, so he's currently not a belt at the moment. He's currently not a champion at the moment.
I think he's about fighting Braids for the vacant one, or the one he's been stripped of.
Yeah.
So who's the other champions? Billy Smith
has got one of them. Some guy called Glover, Noel Glover. I think he got elevated. No, he fought for the vacant against Macabre, I think it was. He won. Or something like that. So,
I think he vacated, didn't he? Badu Jack vacated.
Yes, he's gone to Bridgeweight.
Yeah.
So, okay. Macabre fought against this Glover guy, I think, for the vacant, and he got knocked out. I think this Glover guy's from Germany. Again, just some random European guy I've never heard of before. But, yeah. I mean, obviously, we know React Paul's fighting Billy Smith later on this year.
Might as well try and unify then, Zoda. There's not, once again, there's not much world level for the cruiserweight division. Jaya Pattaya, Bradis, those are still probably the main two factors. And we believe Jaya Pattaya cleans up the division. But there's no real incentive to stay there. If you can make heavyweight, that's where the money is. And Zoda can make heavyweight, I'll be real.
His walk around weight, he said, is about 210, 212, which puts him at about 95 kg. That's what he walks around. So,
yeah. He'll go up to Bridgeweight and grab another if he wants. So, look, I don't see any big money fights in the cruiserweight division. But yeah, if he wants to win over Jaya Pattaya, Bradis, maybe. Or if he wants to grab another quick belt from this Glover guy. I don't think React Paul and Billy Smith have reserved any plans per se. But yeah, he can do what he wants, really. There's options there. If he wants money, if he wants belts, it's up to him.
Yeah. I would like to see, for me, I personally would like to see him unify flows because it's funny enough, he's actually never unified in his career. Zerda.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know he was a long reigning super middleweight or middleweight champion. I think he had like 7-8 defenses, never unified. Obviously, he moved up to super middleweight, grabbed his belt there, never unified. Was unsuccessful at light heavyweight, now he's come to cruiserweight, and he's got a belt. But he's actually never been in a unification fight. So I would like to see him unify. That'd be really, really good. At least once in his career anyways. and, you know, get him in there with the, you know, yeah, for other champions and make more history. So I would like to see him unify before potentially then moving up to Bridgerweight, which I anticipate will happen at some point. I don't know if he'll go as far as heavyweight flows. But yeah, if he gets bored, maybe. But I think maybe Bridgerweight is probably where he will stop or where he should stop. Heavyweight, I do think he might be just a bit too small, even for him.
Yeah, it's, but look, he's not doing it for the bread. That's where the bread is.
Yeah.
That's what they're after. Jaya Pattaya, I think he's planning to get up there as well.
Heavyweight, yeah. Even Jaya, I think it's too small, but
The money, that's where the money is. So I'm going to try and get there.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, shout out to Zodo, man. Cold. Been called for a number of years. Very, very good Mexican boxer. And one off for making history. Yeah, Flores, let's talk about Sunday's card. The card that we had the pleasure of attending on the Shout Boxer, Flores. One of the better cards they put on. Yeah, Flores, what are your thoughts on just the card as a whole and the evening as a whole? Because, you know, I thought it was, I had a great time.
Yeah, it was a good... a good card. So fair play to Boxer. That's space of good talent. Went super excited from top to bottom in that sense, or super excited from top to bottom. I guess when it's a London venue, and then there's not a London fighter, there's not London in the main event.
You think it takes away from it a little bit?
Not that it takes away from it. I don't think like the crowd tends to be not as rumbly, or you feel me?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Obviously, the people travel down. London's easy to get to, so you had fighters supporting, you had fans supporting fighters across the board on the bill. Yeah. So it was still a great atmosphere. Shout out to Boxer, man. Was pretty full in there as well.
It was. They packed out. Yeah.
And let me not disrespect the fans. They were all lively for their fighters. So
yeah. Keyword for their fighters being which we'll talk about. But should we start with the Vidal Riley fight, Flores? I think that's the first fight we actually, you know, got caught. That's when we arrived in the arena, or the venue itself. Vidal Riley versus Mikel Lawal, Flores. We expected Vidal Riley to take this. And to be honest, Flores, I thought he took it pretty comfortably. We kind of questioned, you know, Lawal's motivation. Obviously, against Chamberlain, he didn't really look that motivated. And then the build-up for this Riley fight, I watched the face-off, Flores, or the gloves are off, whatever it's called. He didn't really look... Jimmy didn't look like he cared. The energy he was giving, Flores, was low iron, low anemic energy. Like, he's like, yeah, man, it's what it is. Like, I'll just show him, innit? I'll break him down. That's it. Like, he weren't even trying to, like... Vidal was trying to, like, speak and whatnot and try and get him to engage, and, like, he just couldn't bother. But to be fair to Lawal, Flores, to me, on the night, Flores, he looked a bit more engaged than I've seen him recently.
Oh.
He was trying to step to Lawal and put him under pressure and set him up for his big shots. Sorry, trying to step to Riley. Try to put Riley under pressure, set him up nicely for his big shot, the big right hand, the big left hand. But Riley, Flores, was just too cute on the night. Too cute for him, too good of a boxer. Riley's movement was superb, Flores. You know, one critique as I've had with Riley, and as I said last week, was that I've seen Riley get caught a bit too many times for my liking. But obviously, him being caught is mainly down to the fact that he hasn't raked his opponent and he's been a bit sloppy. But against someone like Lawal, he can't afford to do that because Lawal genuinely carries power. And Flores, this is definitely the most disciplined performance I've seen from Vidal Riley so far defensively. He was switched on from round 1 to round 10. He didn't put his hands low. He didn't just, you know, try and walk forward and whatnot. He was switched on movement-wise, hand placement-wise, Flores. And Lawal couldn't really touch him, to be honest, Flores. I don't think Lawal landed anything of note that I remember. I don't know if you remember anything, but nothing of note to me.
The body,
but it wasn't really like, I don't think anything was like, maybe... Yeah. Maybe once against the rope, so you might have caught him a little bit to the body. But overall, Flores, I don't think Riley was hurt or in trouble whatsoever. Now, offensively, Flores, it wasn't the usual, you know, Ryder performance in terms of he wasn't really like being flashy and going there, like trying to like, you know, sit down in the shots and whatnot flows. But again, I think it was just him being careful. I guess recognizing and respecting this opponent is a bit of a step up from where I've been previously. And he hits hard. So let me not get too sloppy. So for me, Flows, it was just an accomplished, disciplined boxing performance. He showed the boxing levels between them. He boxed and moved, put behind the jab, very good lateral movement. And I think my biggest takeaway, Flows, was just how well-conditioned Vidal Riley was for this fight. Because he moved around a lot, Flows. A lot of lateral movement, a lot of footwork. And I'm expecting him to fade, to be honest, towards later on. If he slows down, maybe that's when Loire can, you know, get some success, maybe against the ropes and whatnot. Flows, he didn't stop. He was moving, like he was moving around 10, was like how he was moving around one, Flows. Super, super impressive. So I can tell he worked really hard for this fight, worked on his conditioning. And yeah, like I said, it wasn't the most exciting performance from Vidal Riley, Flows, but to me, he showed enough levels and I gave him the comfy victory, if you ask me.
Yeah. I think obviously the Chamberlain fight wasn't super exciting. And I think he knows what he needs to do to beat a Lawal, which is box and move. Lawal can't deal with it. And look, like you mentioned, he's conditioning, impressive. I don't think he's fought many 10-rounders. He's still very early in his career in terms of how many fights he's had. These guys have more experience than him. But yeah, he done what he needed to do to win. It wasn't super entertaining. I think he hurt his rib early on. That's kind of why he decided to stay this way and box like this, which is fine. I'd rather see it now and see that you can do it. So when you need to pull it out of the bag, you can do it. It's not new to you, like Fedora, actually Fedora didn't box a move, but yeah, nothing's new to you. I've always called on fighters to show me everything you can do early on. And he done that. So yeah, comfortable win, showed his level above. And I think it's good because he's talked about fighting other people, talks about where he's going to go next. That can distract you from who you have in front of you. So I think he took it seriously, got the win, done the job. Seen fighters like Shakur do this, Devin Haney. So yeah, shout out to him. Done what he needed to do against the Lawal, showed the golfing clouds and got in the dub.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, we saw the afters, Flows. Isaac Chamberlain was in attendance, and they've called him in. To be fair, we couldn't really see. I think after the result flows, we sort of gone out to get drinks or whatever. But bit of a scrum happened afterwards because obviously Chamberlain's there. They've called him in. They're both going at it. Suddenly Chamberlain has come with this big energy, Flows, about yeah, you don't want it. You know, let's do, you know, do something about it. What are you going to do? Let's do it. Blah blah. Obviously, they've had their back and forth because it was initially meant to be Chamberlain and Riley. They couldn't agree on the date, so it then became Lawal. We've called for him to fight both of these guys anyways. So yeah, it makes sense for it to be Chamberlain next up. However, we know that Chamberlain, who holds the British title, Flows, he has a mandatory in Chev Clark, who's also another undefeated British fighter. Also a good fighter as well. And I think he was also around the local flow, so they've called him in to try and bring him in. I think Vidal said, yeah, come in, Chev. And then a sort of like a little bit of a brawl. Well, I'm going to say a brawl. It wasn't really a brawl, but I think some pushing and shoving sort of happened, maybe between the two camps or the three camps, shall I say. And that was that. That's what I can make out anyways on the YouTube videos, right, Flows? Yeah, man, it's good that these three are sort of, you know, getting involved and, you know, getting the cracking and talking. I understand, obviously, Chev is mandatory for Isaac, so he's probably thinking, yo, what are you guys talking about, you two, when I'm the one in position here, not you. Boxer are obviously going to do what they're going to do, Flows, and they're going to follow the money. And right now, it looks as if Riley and Chamberlain, you know, those two in a matchup is getting people talking more and seems to have more money aligned to it than, unfortunately, is Chev Clark and Chamberlain. So Chev is probably going to get pushed out, Flows, I can't lie. Maybe Chef should fight the winner. If they're looking to make the Vidal, if they're looking to strike with the iron top flows and make Chamberlain and Vidal now, because there's interest and public interest, then they got to stipulate that Chef fights the winner if he's happy to wait.
I don't know, you know. I think that performance for Vidal would have turned some people off, and people have already crashed their Isaac. Hey, to be fair, Isaac's been in some good fights. Him versus Phyllis Smith was a good fight.
Yep.
But he's been in some stinkers as well. So I don't know if people are as excited for it as before. I think people will have Chef Clark at the top of that list in terms of who wins. Because Chef Clark's explosive. They're probably four easy opponents. And got them out of there. He looks like the dangerous one, if anything.
Yeah.
And Chef Clark's a
Yeah.
mandatory. So I don't know what the boxer are going to try to pull this time. Are they going to make Isaac vacate? Because
Bro,
then.
the way they're talking, the way, I mean, I'm like the way boxer talking and well, Ben Shalom is talking, it's as if the fans want to see Riley versus Chamberlain right now. That's where he was. That's where he was. That's the way he was talking. It's like they're going to try and push that. And he was like, I know, Chef, but I feel sorry for him, but we'll sort something out. Don't worry. But you see, it feels like they're looking to build Chamberlain versus Riley now.
Look,
And
make it happen. Then. I don't mind it.
look, I want Riley to go through all of these guys anyway. So if it's Chef first and then Chamberlain or Chamberlain and then Chef, I don't mind. I expect Riley to fight. To me, he needs to fight all these guys anyways to establish himself as the best, the best up and coming cruiser in Britain. So yeah, it has to happen regardless. Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna cut and dice it, right, Flows. But if we're going off profiles, I think Chamberlain obviously probably has a bigger profile than Chev, and Riley has a bigger profile than Chev, unfortunately. So they're But I wouldn't be surprised, folks, if Boxer then go with the profiles and say, okay, let's do this. Because that's the only reason. Chef being there was in, obviously, and the fact that Chamberlain and Riley are both signed to Boxer. Chef isn't with Boxer, I believe. I don't think Chev is not with Boxer.
He's with Matron.
He's a
That's
matchroom, yeah.
why.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Look, I know what Chef, I know Boxer are gonna do that. They're gonna go, I think they're gonna go for Riley and or they're gonna try and set up Riley and Chamberlain if they can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look, if Chev is the mandatory for Isaac Chamberlain, and then it's been ordered, I believe it's been ordered.
Yeah, it's been ordered, yes.
So are you going to do another, or you going to drop? I don't know. But look, people are also saying that that's the reason why the brawl started, because they didn't want to give Chev any exposure, so they quickly
Yeah.
just told the security to stop him. Whatever it is, look, these men need to be active. So run it this year. Whatever's next, make sure it happens this year. I think Chev potentially is the most dangerous out of them, from what I've seen. Just explosive power.
Yeah, he's
I think
strong, isn't he? Yeah.
Austin Vidal's Riley's ability, in terms of his power to keep some of these big
Yes.
weights off
Yes.
of
Yeah,
him.
actually, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a boxing move performance kind of thing. So he wasn't necessarily sitting down, but there were times when he was trying to sit down his punches flows against Lyle, and he wasn't really doing much. I don't remember recall also Lyle being hurt like that. So yeah, that is one question mark I have. Like, obviously, he's answered the discipline questions in terms of whether he wants to be defensively disciplined. He's shown me could box and move. We know he's skillful. Now I wonder the power side, because some of his cruiserweights are big flows. Like, he's actually on a small end of a scale when it comes to some of his cruiserweights. I think Crispin Smith is bigger than Vidal Riley and
Yeah.
possibly hits harder. So, yeah, I question now the power side of things, if he's especially if he's coming on the smaller end of a scale, whether he can keep some of these guys off. And I guess time will tell, Flows. He's still a rookie, technically, so there's still time to see on that one. Yeah. But yeah, shout out to Vidal, man. That the Flows roadmap is still in effect. What was the next fight, Flows? It was Mr. Whitaker, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about Flows. Ben Whitaker versus Will, is it Willings? Wallings? I think it's Willings.
Leon
Leo
Willing.
Willings.
Yeah.
First of all, I want a big shout out to Leo Willings, man. Nah, real talk, big shout out to him. Because he was expected to get blown away, Flows. And from that first round, right, Flows, where Ben Whitaker's boxed properly in that first round and he's been dropped, I'm there thinking, rah, it's about to be a long night. About to be wrapped up now in that first round or second round. He stayed in there, Flows. I think this was what, an eight rounder? He stayed in there, Flows. He gritted his teeth. He was getting pieced up in portions. He didn't let Ben Whitaker's showboat get to him, Flows. In fact, he himself started doing his own showboating. And he was also catching Whitaker with great shots himself. Good defensive work in portions, Floyd Mayweather-esque. You know, it's a shout out to him, man, because like I said, he was expected to get blown away. It started horribly for him. he stuck in there and he showed that he himself is a decent boxer himself, Flores. So yeah, I was impressed with his endeavor. I can't lie.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was sitting there watching it first round. I was like, yeah, wrap it up. It's over. I was like, ref, stop this one. Because he wasn't let. I don't think he threw. I don't think he landed in the first round. But Whitaker was there with a sharp jab, piecing him up, dropped him.
Mm.
And then Ben kind of, once he dropped him, he kind of took a backward step. He was just landing single shots.
Yeah.
Or throwing flashy combos and then letting him wait. And I was just like, yeah, might as well stop this ref. But lo and behold, Leon Willens, he starts flexing. Shoulder rolling in the corner of portions. Going from his orthodox to southpaw with a jab, backhand jab.
Yeah.
Switch hitting. Dropping his hands, landing uppercuts. Beautiful uppercuts on the inside. I was like, yo, Willens is growing into this fight and enjoying it almost. I felt like he was probably smiling in portions of that fight. Having to shake his head and say, nah, that didn't hurt. Which we don't when someone lands a good shot and it shakes their heads.
It's registered. Yeah.
And Ben Whitaker was shaking his head a few times in that fight. So look, shout out to Leon Willens. His stock grew. A rookie from nowhere, expecting to get blown out. Yeah. He can hold his head. Nah.
Close. Ben Whitaker. Yes, Ben. Because, folks, if we keep it a buck, right?
Mm.
The fight could end in the first round if he really wanted to.
Mm.
He was having his way with this guy so much that he came out off, you know, fighting conventionally, and he was killing this guy.
Mm.
You mentioned once he dropped him and hurt him, he took a step back. We know why. He got to get that showboat off.
Mm.
He got to get that flex off. He has to. It's part of his brand now.
Yep.
But Flores, it's all well and good doing the show, and we've got a lovely example of it in round two, Flores, before the end of a round bell. He's there doing his little dancing and whatnot. It's all well and good showboating and doing all that stuff, Flores. But you then can't go, let me not call it life and death, because it wasn't life and death. He won every round. But you then can't be, you know, getting caught by this guy, having to shake your head because you've been caught flush. Looking a bit silly, missing punches and whatnot, because you're trying to showboat and look cool with your punches. You then can't go and have a competitive fight with a guy that you're expected to blow out and the guy that you were flexing on and showboating on 5-6 rounds earlier. You can't. Optically, it doesn't look good. I think Ben Whitaker won this fight comfortably, Close. It was a comfortable win.
Yeah.
However, he didn't look as dominant as he should have. And that's due to the fact that he needs to, because it's a need for us and it's him, but it's become part of his brand. He went viral from it. The showboating antics and that kind of stuff. If he cut that out, Flores, in that fight would have been done in 2 rounds, I promise you.
Yeah.
Because every time he boxed convention, and the fact is, Flores, this is probably the least he showboated.
Yeah.
All the fights so far. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Because when he started getting caught a bit more and whatnot, he started fighting conventionally. And Flores, I like Ben Whitaker a lot. And I'm not mad at the showboating and whatnot. I just think that if you're going to do it, look good. And then when it's time to get these guys out of there, get him out of there. But Flores, what did I say last week? Well, not last time he fought. He's going to be like Marmite. This star's going to be like Marmite. People are going to love it. People are going to really hate it. And they're going to start tuning in to hate watch because they want him to be the cocky, mouthy guy. They want him to be humbled. Flores, it's rising. We have Buddy behind us. Pray on this downfall, saying I really want this guy to crack him. I really want him to drop him. I really want him to lose. I need him to be humbled. Flores, I'm going online now. The comments on YouTube, the Twitter commentary, killing him, saying, nah, I can't stand this. He's a hype drop. I can't wait for this hype train to be derailed. I'm going to tune to every fight now just to see that. Flores, they're onto him. Flores, they're onto him. The haters are onto him. They want him to be humbled so badly.
And it's his fault. Look, let's start with the preamble. Let's start with what he said. Was it to Andy Clark? Where Andy Clark called some of the stuff he does disrespectful to his opponents.
Yep.
It's true. He should be able to accept that. Of course, you're showboating. That is disrespectful to the opponent. Knocking him on the top of the head.
Bro.
And he was there being bullish and doubling down and saying, no, it's not disrespectful. He's saying there's an agenda, that it's the commentators doing it, the commentary, I mean, putting it in people's heads that, oh, you're not a boxer, so it's skill. That doesn't mean it can't be disrespectful if it's skill. It's both. You're violating. That's a fact. That's why the rest of it. Cool, you should be able to accept that. But no, he's being cocky, he's being a heel. And look, same time as all that, the first round, we're watching it, and then when he started showboating, you hear the whole stadium cheering on and getting excited. So there's a showman aspect which he has to deliver. But like we've said on this pod, when you're showboating and then you're going eight rounds, going the full 12, it's dull because you're showboating because there's a skill gap. That's the fact. And if there's a skill back gap, why are you going the full distance with these dudes? We want to be able to showboat, then get them out of there. And now, I'll point, I've said this before, sometimes you'll showboat, get them out of there, courtesy of the ref. Courtesy of the ref coming in and being, oh, no, that's enough. So he's been gifted a few stoppages to Paddy's record. Gifted a few now. Fortunately, winnings weren't going like that. But like we say, he could have probably got forced it if he wanted to. So he's got to find the fine balance. It's going to turn a lot of people off, but there's a way to do it. If he's able to get someone out of there, get them out of there. And then you can showboat after. You can mix it up. There's people comparing him to Josh Kelly now. He's no Josh Kelly, I'll be real, but he can get Josh Kelly.
He can.
Because Josh Kelly wasn't even showing us the basics.
Yeah.
At least I've seen the basics from Whittaker, but
yeah,
get Josh Kelly if he's not careful.
Bro. Buddy behind me was honestly the funniest thing ever for us. I'm just listening to his commentary, the way he's hating each round, praying that winning stops him and catches him and whatnot.
He's got man.
I can't lie, Willis did win a single round. This guy's there said, oh yeah, you know, I'll give him Willis about 2-3 rounds. I'm thinking that's pure hatred talking. Like, I get it. No, I get the showboat can be annoying and stuff, but come on now. Willis has been beast up still. Yeah, he's lost every round. The times when he looked good and he caught Ben with good shots, but he lost every round, clearly. But for him to say I've given him 2-3 rounds, I said, nah, it's just you're running off pure hate, which is hilarious. But Flores, that's what it's gonna be like. That's what the YouTube comments are showing, Flores. There's guys, they were killing him and his performance. Guys on Twitter saying, "What, you can't stop a random cab driver. You're going 8 rounds with this guy and not even looking good, getting caught. I can't wait till he fights someone decently, he humbles him." Flores, they're onto him. And unfortunately, as you said, Flores, he's caused it himself.
Yep.
And because it's part of his brand, Flores, I think now he feels like he has to do this stuff. Like I said, he's been doing it from the amateur days. So it's a brand that he's been investing in early. I'm telling you, Flores, as I said, that fight, we saw the showboating was less than other fights compared to other fights. And this is meant to be a step up with an opponent. Flores, I've said it so many times, Flores, it's not carrying on once he fights someone credible. He fights a killer in that division, someone who actually is good, who's fought for world titles and whatnot, Flores. Unless he's so far up on the scorecards, Flores, this guy's not doing this showboat. He's not. Because he knows he can't afford to, Flores. He can't afford to do it. It is what it is. So I'm saying, Flores, listeners, enjoy it while you can. Because the way this Williams guy was catching him and something he's not doing it no more was killing me. Was killing me, Flores.
Yeah. I just think he'll pick and choose when he does it. I don't think he'll stop doing it. I think he'll just pick and
choose. Or if he's ahead, Flores, or if he knows I've got this guy. That's
or it's like end of the rounds. Like you saw him do a little buzz at the end of the round.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I'm sure at the end of the round, you do something. He'll be cheeky.
Yeah.
He won't ever fully cut out. He just won't do it middle of rounds. He'll be selective. Yeah. His ego is too big. He won't ever cut out, but he'll just be very selective in the serious fights. But yeah, we'll just see where he goes from here. Are you vouching for him or are you expecting his downfall?
I'm not expecting his downfall. No, I'm vouching for him. Yeah. I just think if you're going to do it, Flores, you got to look good. Like, you got to, like, if he done this right and then got this out there like 2 rounds later, cool. But he was getting caught. He was missing widely sometimes. And then when he got back on his conventional boxing, he looked a class apart. So, yeah, man. I said, I'm a fan of him. And I do think he brings entertainment factor. But I just called it. I said, it's going to bring a lot of haters too. And there's a lot of people going to be hate watching him from now on, hoping to see him get humbled and lose. Just like when Josh Kelly got humbled and lost. They can hope for a lot of that flows. And I just hope that it doesn't come before he's reached his potential.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for him.
Well,
and the target on the back is even going to be, because obviously, you know, Flores, you know, this country doesn't really like a cocky black guy sometimes, you know, he rubs people up the wrong way. So we know what it is. So I hope he can, you know, reach potential and, you know, win something substantial before any sort of downfall happens, if you ask me.
We'll see what happens with him.
But yeah, he got the W anyway, so yeah. And they're going to keep moving him up, so yeah. And this guy was actually ranked ahead of him, so they're moving him fairly quickly, so yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to Williams though, man. Like, I'll see him again. Like, he gave us entertaining fights, so shout out to him. Fight afterwards, Flo, I think it was Marku, right? Marku and Congo. This was a grudge match, Flo's. We know that these two have had issues for a while now. I must say, flipping out, Flo's, them Albanians really do support their own. Because, Flo's, I promise you, I didn't see a single Albanian flag up until the point where it was this fight, and they're announcing this fight, and Marku, and I'm suddenly all around us, Flo's, a sea of red Albanian Black Eagle flags are being risen. I think to myself, where did all these men come from? Crazy. Flo's, there was more Albanian supporting their guy than Congo, who is a British fighter, right, Flo's? Like, they were louder. They were cheering for their guy. That's their king, clearly. It made the atmosphere sick. I can't lie, folks. The atmosphere was crazy because obviously there was a section of people who were supporting Congo right in front of us and around us. The rest were just Albanians, like. So it was really good atmosphere, Flo's. It's interesting. The fight was a good fight, Flo's.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot of bad blood between these two. Completely different styles as well. Marku is aggressive, quite powerful. Pressures you and whatnot. Congo is more of a slicker boxer, right, Flo's? And I think I actually thought, I think we might have both picked Marku, actually. I know I definitely picked Marku to win this. Congo performance, Flo's, impressed me because he did come under a lot of pressure from Marku. And I think the first half of the fight, I was sort of leaning towards Marku. I think he was forcing the exchanges, really aggressive, landing the bigger, heavier shots was what I expected. But he faded, Flo's, second half of the fight for me. And that's where Congo really came into his own, Flo's. And that's where his boxing ability, he is a better boxer than Marku in my eyes, started to really shine through, Flo's. And was able to counter Marku every time he tried to leap in. He started to make his superior height. Congo is 6 foot. So even he, as a welterweight, he's got, you know, good, you know, size and reach for that division. And he started to really use it as Marku faded. And I think you mentioned before, Flo's, as well, that Marku does tend to fade in his fights, to be fair, like second half of his fight. So Congo really capitalized the second half, Flo's, and I think he was well worth the win, if you ask me.
Very much a fight of two halves. The first half was close. I wouldn't say it wasn't not close. It was a close fight. But yeah, Congo was getting caught a lot. Marku's pressure was paying dividends. But yeah, Congo was still landing as well, trying to box a move.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Marku does fade, and Congo sometimes takes a while to wake up. In the Echo Esuman loss, it was until he got hurt that he decided to
box him. Yeah.
I remember being critical of him. I was like, what the hell is he doing? He could have won this fight. It was his fight.
Yeah.
Because of the... Granted, I think Esuman faded as well, but he managed to get the win.
Because Esuman himself is also a pressure fighter, isn't it? So, yeah.
But this time, Congo kind of found his rhythm, and he had a brilliant round, maybe like the sixth or fifth or one of those rounds.
It was from like the sixth, seventh round where he started to really just put rounds together, Flo's. Like, it was like he, one round he even hurt Marku, I think. And that's, I think, that might have been round. And like, he was scoring him, he was cooking him.
So, yeah, it was a good performance from Congo. And yeah, he could kind of go on from here, I think. Because in the beef, in the preamble of the beef, it looked like he lost the beef, really. He was getting violated.
Yep.
Like he wasn't coming off, like he had the ups in like the back and forths.
Yeah.
But yeah, the beef looked like it was still frying. I didn't see him shake hands or hug. But yeah.
Well, yeah, he tried to like be gracious and like he came to Marku to try and like, I think, offer advice and say, you know, you fought a great fight, stick around. But Marku just, yeah, showed like he just, yeah, was not having it and just walked out kind of thing. And
yeah,
yeah, he then Congo was like, well, I mean, I tried to be the bigger man, but F it kind of thing. So yeah. Marco didn't take it well, obviously. Probably passions and whatnot, I guess. But yeah, maybe he's still frying. I don't know. But Congo's got the bragging rights now.
I think he was injured, Marco. Or someone said he hurt his hand.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what it is.
I know you were taking it harshly because in the preamble flows, he was talking as if Congo was going to get rinsed, like destroyed. Had no business being there with him. And he was going to get knocked out for sure. And yeah, Congo, I think Congo dug deep and showed grit. Obviously, he has a loss already. So, you know, it takes a lot to be able to bounce back from losses and whatnot. And he showed that even though he was under fire for a good portion of the fight, he was able to grit out and stick to his game plan and stick to his boxing. And it worked out for him. So shout out to Chris Congo on a good W, definitely, for sure. And it was quite funny, obviously, seeing flows to Albanians sort of just leave in droves after the fight was over. They really just came to support their guy and dip. They weren't here for nothing else. I just came to see Marco and bounced.
Crazy, but yeah, shout out to them, man.
This brings us nicely, flows, onto the main event flows. Fabio Wardley, Fraser Clark. What did we say last week, flows? These British title fights, flipping means more. And once again, flows, we were treated to another classic British title fight. And they're already calling this, flows, as one of the great British heavyweight fights of all time. That's and to be honest, flows, I'm happy that it was so well received. Like, obviously, I had people texting me, were there saying this fight's cracking, what a scrap, blah, 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 blah. I'm glad. Obviously, we were there as well in attendance, so it's good to, you know, be at a fight that's quality, main event that was worth it. And I'm glad, like I said, these two warriors, I want to give hats off to both of them, flows. Yeah, round of applause to both of these guys. They were brilliant. And the fight was brilliant. Quality fight. Flows. A draw.
Yep.
And I'm not mad at it, Flows. I'm not mad at it. I personally scored the fight 114-113 to Fraser Clark. Yes, listeners, that's despite the fact that Clark was knocked down in, was it the second round, Flows, or the third round? I think it was the third round.
Yeah, third, maybe.
I think it was the third round.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that he had a point deducted for excessive low blows, which we'll go into, I still gave him the fight by 1 point. I saw other people saying they had it 114-113 Wardley. I'll be by the draw. But because it was such a close fight, Flows, I don't mind it being a draw whatsoever. Oh. And for me, they have to run this back instantly because it was that kind of a classic fight. I predicted Wardley to win. I think we both predicted Wardley to win. So do you know what, Flows? I do want to give hats off to Fraser Clark. He showed me something in there on Sunday that I didn't think he had in him. I know he's obviously a better boxer than Wardley. He's obviously, Wardley's come from a white-collar background. Despite Wardley having more pro experience, I think in terms of overall boxing experience, it lies with Clark. But when faced with adversity, Flows, and there were times when I thought Clark could melt here. As you know, Wardley started super fast, Flows, super aggressive, which he tends to do. And he was kind of going for it early, Flows. I'm guessing he probably thought, you know, this guy can't handle my power. And if I catch him, it's done. And, you know, we see that in the first round, second round now. And then third round, when he actually catches Fraser Clark, Flows, and drops him, I'm there thinking, rah, is this all she wrote? Damn, just like that? It was kind of Flows. He wasn't massively hurt, the knockdown. It was right at the end of the round. Obviously, he's backpedaling, I think. Yeah. Clark is, Wardley's throwing hella shots. And Fraser's kind of like blocking them, ducking them. One's caught, two's caught. His hands are down. He's got caught again as he's backpedaling. So he's kind of off balance and been dropped. Luckily for him, it was the end of a round of flows. But I'm there thinking, rah, is it going to be like that? But what Clark, when I say I respect Clark, right, flows, and what he showed me was just grit and determination. Both fighters showed me that in different ways.
Yeah.
But obviously, as Wardley is there unloading and whatnot, I'm there thinking, boy, this could be a long night for Clark. But then Clark has come firing back with his own shots. And he isn't letting Wardley just have, you know, do everything by himself. He's also trying to reply and trying to respond and trying to exchange with Wardley, which I didn't think I would see. And then I'm seeing Clark get the better of these exchanges, flows. I think punch selection-wise, flows, Clark was spot on. How many times did he land the uppercut, flows, as Wardley's coming in?
Yep.
Every single time Wardley tried to cut, bang. Every flows, every single time, it landed superbly. Peach of a shot every single time. Like, he showed really good ability to time his shots as Wardley comes in, because Wardley's aggressive. He used the jab quite well in portions in that fight, flows. So yeah, there was a lot of things that Fraser Clark did that I was really impressed with. And I said, you know, this is really good boxing. And at the same time, flows, Wardley himself also did things that impressed me. I do think he was a bit wild and ragged at sometimes. I think that's mainly the fatigue. But Wardley showed what, obviously, one, when he's tired, he's able to grind out as well and dig deep and bite down the gum shield. I liked Wardley's body work as well, Floods. I thought he was really invested in the body for the entire fight, which isn't something I tend to see from him. He tends to be more of a headhunter, but he was invested to the body. So yeah, Floods, this fight ebbed and flowed back and forth. There was a time when I thought Fraser Clark was shattered. I think this is midpoint, Floods. And I'm thinking he looks really tired. This is where Wardley might take over. Wardley, he threw a lot of punches himself. A couple rounds later now, he's looking shattered and he's looking like he's on his last legs. His face is a bloody mess. So it was that kind of fight, flows, ebbs and flows. Yeah, man, highly enjoyable stuff from both guys. They both did things I liked. They both did things I didn't like. I felt like Clark should have really used his size and frame a lot earlier. Towards the end of the fight, he started doing it, where he started leaning on him and doing the dark arts and hugging up Wardley and pushing him around. I thought that could have come from time because he was by far the bigger man in there, size-wise. But I was impressed with how he held his form. Whereas Wardley, I appreciate the aggressiveness, but you can see he kind of punched himself out and he lost his shape quite quickly, flows. So that's when he was starting to look super wild, super raggedy with his punches. But he's a warrior and he bit down his gum shield. And what a chin he has, by the way, because he got caught with some bombs and he didn't go down. But yeah, man, both of these guys gave us a treat, flows, and they both beat the brakes off each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, what can I say? You said it all.
But, man.
great fight. I think from round one, like you say, Fraser Clark showed, you can see the amateur experience he has. The jab was fine. But we've always said this about Wardley, by his last fight against David Adelaide, where he boxed great from start to finish. I didn't need to take punishment to wake up. He reverted to his usual Wardley style, where it took him getting pieced up for him to get angry and unload. And that's kind of what we expected. And he done it again, dropped Clark, and I thought, yeah, this is what Wardley does. It's going to be game over. Shout Clark, he fought back, he survived. He hurt Wardley in portions. He had his nose busted early. Eye mash up was really piecing him up. And like you say, the dark cards, he showed experience beyond. You could probably tell Fraser Clark's a good student at the game because he was spitting out his gum shield when he needed to.
Yeah, two or three when times he was in trouble.
And bought himself more time in that sense. Then started leaning on 19, started leaning on Fabio.
Yeah.
And that's, you can see it was draining Fabio as well, having to keep a 19 stone guy off you in those clinches. I felt he was unlucky in terms of the final score because I don't know about the low blow stuff. I know the ref was warning him, but from my view, those weren't low blows, a lot of them.
Yeah. So just to add, Floods, he was warned 3 times by the referee before the referee then took a point down.
Yeah, he was.
But, yeah, as you said, Floods.
Yeah.
They
didn't see my low blows to me.
Yeah.
I think one maybe, which I got a bit of time for, he milked a bit.
I don't even think Wardley even complained.
No, he did. There was one
point. Oh, he did? Okay.
Out of like, he didn't go down, but he gestured to low blow. But for me, I was like, nah, these shots aren't low. They're landing on the belt or just above the belt. And like you say, Clark was showing me resilience because Wardley was, there was one portion where he threw a combo, Clark, missed everything, and Wardley landed a peach of a shot. And Clark backed away, and I thought, yeah, that must have sucked the energy out of you. I don't know how many times he's gone 12 rounds, Clark, but he lasted in there, and he probably come out looking the less tired one. So, look, shout out both guys. Brilliant fight. Ebbed and flowed within the rounds, not just you have this round, I have this round. It really was a brilliant watch. And like we say, British title fights, man. This is what they bring. This is what they bring. So, run it back. Great fight for the casual, for the boxing fan, for everyone involved. Credit to both fighters, man. They both showed good respect as well. Both class acts, I must say. So, yeah, at my respect, for sure. I won't diss them too much now.
I'll get on to that. But, yeah, no, I like the fact that, look, both these guys, Flores, they went through hell, this fight. And they both showed what they were made of. Different portions, they both went through it. Clark came under fire, rode the storm, looks fatigued, rode the storm. Wardley then started battling his own fatigue problems, rode the storm. Completely out of shape, just running on fuse flows. He dug deep, stuck in there, continued pressing the action. They both landed big bombs, haymakers. They showed, you know, they can... Obviously, by the fact that Clark got dropped, he still showed a good chin for our flows. Apart from that, I think that drop was more of a flash knockdown. He wasn't balanced correctly. But, yeah, man, I like it when both fighters show me stuff and show resiliency and portions. So, yeah. Yeah, you say you won't diss him as much. We've both been very vocal about how these guys, we're not the most super impressed with them in terms of them being the next big thing for British heavyweight boxing. Has this changed your views at all, Flows?
Look, even when this, I think when you asked me to give a prediction last fight, I said I had no horse in the race because I don't really rate these men too tough. And I've said, look, Woodley, from what I've seen of him, gets touched too much and needs to be touched to wake up. Certain man are going to touch you and you're not going to wake up. You're going to
you'll wake up, but just in hospital. Right, you know him.
And Fraser Clark, his age doesn't really help. And he's not showing me. I'm not seeing enough from the fights you're having. There's certain fights I've seen him pick people from the crowds.
I knew you were going to say that. He loves it.
It's crazy to me. Won me good money though, but so I'm not really seeing too tough. I know he's been pieced up by Joyce 3 times in the amateurs, so I'm not really expecting too much from Fraser Clark. But what they've shown me is heart, desire, fight. They're not willing to say to die. They've shown me their level apart from David Adelaide. So they've separated from that crowd. I'll probably rank them higher than Johnny Fisher right now. Solomon Dacres, from what I've seen from that display, they show me way more.
For sure.
And these men have had to show me. I don't know if they can answer those same questions. So they certainly earn my respect. And they can certainly, if the matchmaking's right, if the opportunity's right, if some of the killers are out of the division, they can certainly achieve something. Without a doubt. It's about timing, opportunity. Yeah, for sure. The heavyweight division isn't too stacked. We're deep in. There's a lot of guys can get out of it. It's just the top echelon who are on their way out, really.
Yeah.
They can't beat. So who knows?
Yeah. Fraser's, I will say this as well. His timing really impressed me. It was probably the best I've seen him. I don't know if that's because it was Wardley being so aggressive and whatnot, but that probably was. But yeah, no, I liked his timing in that fight. But yeah. Did you when watching, obviously we watched it live, Lois, did you have a, I had about scoring there. Did you score it at all, or were you just...
I wasn't really scoring it, but yeah. I remember I wasn't that keeping tabs, but I think by the end of it, I think this is a draw.
Yeah.
Well, I think I turned a few people, I forgot this is a draw. People said, ah. I was like, I don't know if Fabio's run away with it despite the deduction and the drop, the down. I think also probably helps that we didn't have commentary as well.
I could imagine it would have been very pro, side anyways. And obviously the crowd was very pro Wardley.
Yeah, they were.
So obviously, because every time Wardley did something, they were cheering.
Yeah.
We had our guy next to us. Anytime that Clark did something, he was the only one cheering. Like, go on, Clark. You know, he was the only one. Set because, yeah. But Clark was doing some great stuff in there. And,
I hope that was a good commentary. I wanted to watch it back so I could score it again, but I haven't had a chance to. I thought a draw would be fair. I know that some of the scorecards were actually quite close, I think. So, I won't mad at it. And the general consensus is people weren't mad at it at all. People were very happy. They were happy with the decision. No one's 100%. Screaming. Which is good. So, I'll say a draw. What I was happy with is what I had.
Yeah, for sure. So that asks the question then, Flows. For immediate running back, I want him to run it back immediately.
Yeah.
I think that's what the public wants. Well, the team, they were saying, obviously they will see what happens, and obviously, but they don't need to run it back if they didn't want to. They can go off and do, because I think Wardley did say this is the last fight he wants to be at this level. The next fight he wants to do, like a European level and move up, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I feel like they'll do it, give the fans what they want. You know, I don't see a reason why they should duck it.
Wardley said he deserves a rematch. He's not happy with how it went, so he wants thinks a rematch is only fair.
Wardley needs a break first, though. Just a little bit of a, because obviously he's got to sort some nose issues out, because this is a few times now he's been hurting the nose and had his nose busted and whatnot. Both of them take a good rest and recuperation period.
Not blocking shots and move your head. That's what it needs.
Both of them take a good period to just rest and recuperate before running that back immediately, man, because that was a cracker. And last question for you on this, Flows. Who do you think the rematch suits?
Clark for me. Fraser Clark. I think I said Fraser Clark doesn't have as much experience at the pro ranks as Wardley. First 12 round fight, I'm sure. I don't know if he's even done a 10 rounder before. So now he's had that in his bank. His conditioning is going to improve. He knows what that feels like. He only really lost because of the point deduction. If we want to get technical, so I think it will suit him more in the sense that he knows he can outbox him. He knows he can land him. He now knows he can take his power. He now has a bit of experience in that rank. He's gone in 12 rounds. His conditioning is going to improve. I think it favors him slightly. But I don't think it's a massive in terms of giving him. I just think if you're looking to decide who's going to win, now you can say, okay, maybe Fraser Clark could win because of he's answered some of the questions or question marks that we had over him. So I think it evens it out a bit more now.
That's fair. But I don't think it makes a big difference in terms of, like, it's not a massive swing.
Yeah, it's not. It's not at all.
At all. Obviously, you can say, on the other side, Wardley has got he's 25, 26. So he's got, the blessing of youth on his side. Mm-hmm. He's someone that can only improve because obviously he's been improving with each fight and whatnot. So, I don't think it's a massive swing in Clark's favor, but it's still, to me, a rematch would be 50-50, to be honest, if you ask me, Flos. So, big 50-50 fight. So, I look forward to, hopefully they can get it on this year, Flos. Hopefully towards the end of the year they can do that. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
I'll go again. that was a cracker. Mm-hmm. But shout out to both fighters, man. Really, really enjoyed that fight. Shout out to Boxer. They were quick to obviously announce, even though the fight hasn't actually been confirmed yet, they're still in discussions, but they were quick to do a face-off between Adam Azim and Harlem Eubank during one of the breaks, Flows. Dalton Smith wasn't in attendance as well. So obviously that just says it all in terms of what's going to happen between Dalton and the Azeem. That's not happening. They're making the fight Harlem Eubank instead. Good fight for Azeem if it does happen, because as I said, Flores, they're still in negotiations. It hasn't even been confirmed. So the fact that they've done this, they're rushing to the face-offs without even having a confirmed fight is hilarious. Yeah, Harlem's undefeated, I believe, isn't he? So
yeah,
and he's at like double the fights of Adam Azeem. So bit of a risky one still, but still a good fight, I guess, if it does go down.
Yeah, it makes sense to avoid Dalton Smith. I'm not too mad at it, but obviously Kendall can box her for all the boxer haters.
Yeah.
But yeah, fight Harlem Eubank, that will help boost his profile with Eubank's being in the mix.
Dope. No, it was a good day, Flo. It was a very, very good day. Yeah, that's it really, listeners, in terms of the roundup. Just next week, it's worth mentioning that what's his name? Richardson Hitchens. So someone who is on our list of up and coming fighters. He's fighting against Gustavo Daniel Lemos, who is also an undefeated 140 pounder, Argentinian. He knocked out Lee Selby 2 years ago. Lemos has had 29 fights, 19 wins by KO, 0 losses. So he brings a strong record. Again, Richardson Hitchens obviously had a big step up against Cepeda, schooled him. This is another good fighter to sort of, you know, announce himself as a contender in the 140-pound division. So I look forward to that fight. That should be a good fight for us. And on the undercard, we've got Diego Pacheco, who is also, I think, on our up-and-coming list. He's up against Sean McCalman, an undefeated guy as well. Sky Nicholson is vying for her first world title. I'm pretty sure we've got Sky on our list as well. I wouldn't be surprised anyways. But yeah, she's got a title fight. And Galal Yafai is also on the undercard as well. So decent card over there in America. But I look forward to that main event. I'll definitely watch that the next day. But yeah, Flores, I think we can call it a day there. Unless you have anything else to add.
Nothing else to add. Covered a lot.
Yeah, man. It's been an extensive one. Cool. This has been episode 189 of the Chessism Podcast. I'm your boy Cam.
I'm your boy Flores.
And listeners, you know where to find us. Peace.